Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up in 1 hour here on Ben and Woods on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, we'll be talking to the voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas. Tim Haggerty is going to be with us. Now, they started their season with a week on the road in Tacoma.
Yep.
They have their home opener tonight against Albuquerque.
Well, and much like the Padres, they've now lost half of their team.
That's true.
They're all up here.
We'll get
different look.
I feel like we can get an update on what he saw from a bunch of these guys in the last week or so as they opened their season. They went 3-3, playing six game series in the minor leagues now in AAA. But what was the number you just had there, Pauly, during the break as we were talking about the Chihuahuas?
Yeah, I'll pull it up here. Look, there was no minor league baseball last year, so
yep.
They tweeted out about 40 minutes ago, 623 days later, Chihuahuas baseball is back home.
That's amazing.
Since the end of the 2019 last home game of their season.
Yeah.
Been 623 days.
That is amazing.
Between AAA games at home for the El Paso Chihuahuas.
Yeah, and all the people in El Paso that were looking forward to getting out there and seeing Brian O'Grady, they're not going to get to because we get to see him here
That's
at Petco
point.
Park.
Yeah, ripped him away at the last second right before he was going to make his home debut.
Guy was just dropping bombs down in Sugarland.
They were in Tacoma last week.
All
yeah,
right.
The Rainiers.
Wherever.
And now they're coming home to take on the Albuquerque Isotopes, I believe.
I thought you said earlier Sugarland.
Next week they go to Sugarland,
okay, that's
Texas.
Right. Next week.
Which I don't even know. You said they're the Skeeters?
The Skeeters,
the
I believe.
The Sugarland Skeeters next week. Minor league baseball is always fascinating. I don't know what else, but I think one of the questions is, if the Padres suffered an injury or two this week, what else is down there?
That's exactly
that they
right.
That they can pull up. I mean, they're already... I don't want to say scraping the bottom of the barrel. That sounds a little mean to Patrick Kivlahan and
John Andrioli.
But I don't know who else is it down there if the Padres needed to, you know, bring someone else up because of an injury this week. So we'll talk to Tim Haggerty coming up next hour here on Ben and Woods. First, though, our Padres wrap-up of a doubleheader split against the Rockies right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Miss any of yesterday's Padres game? What's the matter with you?
Forget it. That one is gonna go.
We've got you covered, though. It's the Padres wrap-up with Ben and Woods.
That is the ball game, and that is a winner.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Here's the 1-0. Fuentes launches one. Deep to left field. Bam is going back. He's at the wall. Looking up. Gonna go. Josh Fuentes gets a changeup and hits it out. A two-run shot for Nolan Arenado's cousin. Getting a start at third base. And a 2-1 Rocky lead here in the second. Fidrich-esque. This one is well struck into right field and a base hit for Kim. Trying to find the gap. Blackman bobbles it. It gets behind him. That might get a run home. Nola's rounding third. Nola's on his way. There will not be a throw to the plate. And Kim all the way around to third base. Padres take a 1-0 lead after a well-struck ball into right field for Ha-Sung Kim. Charlie Blackman kicked it around, and the Padres strike first here in Game 2. 1-2 in the dirt, swing and a miss. It was away from Nola for a moment, but he picks it up, throws down to first base to complete the putout. Seven strikeouts now in four innings for Blake Snell, and he's got a 1-2-3 bottom of the fourth. First pitch is a fastball hit well out to right center field. Long way to go, Hampton. Still going back. It is up against the birdcage in right center. Into second base, O'Grady, and he just missed the home run as the ball gets away on the infield, but it is backed up by McMahon. A one-out double by O'Grady, who took a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Daniel Bard and nearly sent it over the fence in right center field. Here's the 2-2 pitch, and that's a hard-hit grounder to the right side, and through for a base hit. That'll tie it 2-2 here in the seventh. Padres were down to their final two outs, and Victor Caratini with a grand slam in game one comes through with a pinch-hit RBI single here in the seventh.
The man does it again.
Coming up, and then who knows? This one is sent very deep into left center field. Grisham going back. He will not get there. It's up against the wall, and it is a game-winning hit for Josh Fuentes, who has driven in all three Rocky ones. Colorado walks it off here in the bottom of the eighth inning, and they avoid the sweep. A 3-2 victory in game two of the doubleheader.
I thought you were spot on. I thought if there was a highlight, it was the third and the fourth inning. I thought he was much aggressive. I thought he pitched with his fastball really well in the third and fourth. And hopefully that's one to build on. You know, seven inning game here. You know, we're doing everything you know we can to you know score runs. You know, so ultimately that's, you know, why he went four today. His spot came up and, you know, I think the way he was going in the third and fourth, you know, he probably could have grabbed another one, but we were scrapping for runs.
That was, they did win a game yesterday, but that was game two of the doubleheader, the 3-2 eight inning loss to the Rockies that prevented the sweep at Coors Field, ending a 3-3 road trip. Padres off today. They will turn home to face the St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow night. It does feel like that was a game they could have had pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
And gotten that sweep. But as we said yesterday all week long, even though you should be able to dominate the Rockies, you can't expect to win every game.
Correct.
If you win two out of three all season
long
in a 19-game season series, you're going to go like 13-6, which is what generally, we look back, that's what the dominating first-place teams
what the Dodgers did to the Padres.
Generally do to the last-place teams. You take two out of three. You keep doing that. You're on pace. You didn't give up any ground there, but it was one the Padres could have had in that second game yesterday. Now, first game, just had trouble getting anything going offensively you know, all day until finally Victor Caratini broke through with the grand slam, and then the Padres held on at the end of that game on an incredible catch. What an amazing way for that game to end, on the catch by Austin Nola, who is a catcher out there playing second base with his back to the infield, the no man's territory, the dead triangle out there, picks the ball up over his shoulder and makes that catch to end the game.
Pitch number 10 of the at-bat coming, and on 3-2, it's a curveball. Popped up, shallow right field. Coming in, Andreoli, he cannot get there, but Nola makes an over-the-shoulder catch.
Kelly
Austin
Leake.
Austin Nola comes from nowhere to make the play, and the catcher turned second baseman ends the game.
He's a shortstop, I believe, turned catcher, turned second baseman, also a catcher.
Can play some first base as well.
Play some out left field, I believe, as well. What a valuable piece. What a great, great catch.
Now
it was not ill-advised.
Yeah, if he had like dropped that or knocked it out of Andreoli's glove.
Who cares? He didn't
be
move
like,
on.
Rip it. They Padres lose 6-5, and you're going, Nola, what were you doing? There's a guy coming in. He was right there to grab it. You had to like steal it away from him.
Kelly Leake it, man.
But he made the catch.
Full so on Kelly Leake it. All it's a results-based business. The result was the result that we wanted. Game over. Did you guys? No one here had a problem with Tingler pulling Yu Darvish after 76 pitches, right?
You know, it was an interesting strategic moment in the game because the Padres were down 1-0.
Yep, 76 pitches in.
And you had a couple of runners on, and you felt like they need some offense. And, you know, you're not going to get any from Yu Darvish. Doesn't have a hit all season,
no.
Doesn't even look interested in getting a hit this season. So you had to make a decision right there. I might be able to get two more innings out of Darvish, or I might get a chance to tie the game. I could say it worked out. I mean, they got a walk or a hit batsman, I think,
Nola.
And then Trent Grisham tied the game with that bunt that he pulled off. And so they did get a run out of it. So I can't criticize Jace Tingler for making that call right there.
It's a great move.
And they ended up winning the game.
Yeah, it's a great move, I thought.
It was aggressive. It was aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, and he said, look, when you're managing in a seven-inning game, it is. Guys, we all looked up and went, oh, crap, it's fourth. Right? All of us. And went, oh, we're running out of time here. Let's not forget we had a seven-inning game. And
it's so weird when you're in the fourth inning, you feel like you're running out, or the top of the fifth.
Yeah.
And you feel like, oh, we're running out of time.
Nine outs to go. Like, it's very, very strange. And there's an infallible way, though, to get Yu Darvish to go longer in that game. Score runs. Score runs for him. Know that you got to come out and be as aggressive as possible. Now, John Gray, again, really, really good pitcher. Even at Coors Field, his ERA is like two something. I mean, he's a good pitcher. So it was tough. I mean, he traditionally does pretty well against the Padres as well. So, you know, I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant move. Obviously, it's brilliant because it worked out.
Now, Austin Gomber, I don't think people have been saying the same thing about him over the years. Really, really great pitcher. He's not. And, you know, I was hoping the Padres could get some offense for Blake Snell, who, again, I think...
Well, they just showed his ERA at Coors on the television screen. It's damn good. It's like in the twos as well.
Snell.
No, Gomber.
Gomber.
Yeah, Gomber. So, I mean, even he is comfortable there. He had a couple of innings where he looked really, really dominant. Now, again, you're throwing against some AAA guys right now. But listen, they're in the big leagues. He's in the big leagues. He's actually been okay, Benny, at Coors Field this year. But yeah, I mean, I'm just really impressed. I'm impressed that they were able to take two out of three with all the crap that's been hurtled their way the last 24, 48 hours. It really is. It's pretty awesome if you think about it.
Yeah, the distractions.
Massive.
The turnover on the roster, you know, welcoming guys in, and hey, you got to play today.
Hey, you're in the lineup.
And we got a doubleheader today, by the way, as well. It was not ideal circumstances for the Padres.
Tingler talked about that yesterday, on just being able to win without having so many players and having to create these lineups.
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, it's frustrating, you know, because we, you know, we fight so hard to get back, and then, you know, just kind of the weird, you know, I it was either the sixth, the seventh when we got it going, and Crony flares that ball in, and you know, just kind of you know, play. Victor thought he was going to catch it, went back, and so, you know, I think that to answer your question, that's what we got to have, just the guys kind of scrapping together. You know, we kept fighting, and you know, unfortunately, you know, we made some mistakes on the base paths, and you know, yeah, if we don't make those, you know, maybe the outcome's a little bit different. We're certainly, you know, shorthanded, you know, with using as many guys we did game one. But still, like, everybody contributed, everybody battling. And you know, that's what it's going to take, you know, to get through with having, you know, five guys down or so.
It's unfortunate because the message that the Padres are one of the best base running teams, one of the best base stealing teams, if not the best in Major League Baseball. And I believe it's not close, right? And Jace Tingler had spoken either last week or the week before, Benny, about, look, we're fine. We're fine with aggressive mistakes. Problem is, that's not an aggressive mistake. I mean, it is by the letter of the law. That's just a dumb move. What Grisham did, that was just a dumb move. You're okay with Grisham trying to steal second and getting thrown out to get in scoring position, right? We're all okay with that. Hey, man, you tried it, didn't work. That's our brand of baseball. We're not going to change our brand of baseball. That one was just dumb. It was just dumb.
The Padres they lead the league with 41 stolen bases. The second place team is the Texas Rangers with 28.
Yeah, I mean, so far and away, they're stealing the most bags. Doesn't necessarily mean you're the best baseball
team. I know this is going to sound a little crazy because we just heard Jace Tingler call it a mistake, and you were very strong in your opinion that it was a mistake. He got thrown out. I mean, so in essence, it is, of course, a mistake. It ended the inning. It took the bat out of Manny Machado's hands. With the new extra inning rule, though, with a runner being placed on second base, part of me said, I understand a double steal in that situation. You can't really play for one run if you want to win a game, especially on the road, because you know, hey, if we get one, hey, if Manny singles here, but that's the only one we get, we're essentially kind of tied at that point, because they're getting a runner at second at the bottom of the inning. to really be aggressive and go for a win on the road, you want to score two.
But Manny is very capable of hitting a three-run bomb.
Yes, which is why I wouldn't have sent him and why Jace Tingler didn't call for that.
Right.
But if you do pull that off, there's not no benefit in a double steal there. There is to get two runners in scoring position there. It's not to say now if it was the old rules and no one's on base to start the bottom of the inning, one is good. Get the one. Get your three outs and get out and win the game. But that's not how it works anymore with the extra inning rules.
Again, if you're going to do it. Don't get thrown out. You want to swing 3-0, Haas, you better do something with it. You want to steal, Grish, and try and almost take the bat out of it.
Agreed.
You better make it.
I just wanted to point out that there was some strategic validation behind getting two runners in scoring position there.
Sure.
You know, hey, yeah, it's the bottom
of
the inning.
It's ballsy, dude. It's a ballsy move.
You know, it could be a completely stupid move. There was at least something there to be said. As for the Victor Caratini, I mean, you know, Jake Cronenworth lost a hit out of that. Should have been bases loaded, one out in that situation. Just got a bad read.
Angelo's right here when he tweets in, even if Grisham's safe and Cronenworth was trailing, he saw him take off, so he went. That's what you do. They probably are going to walk Manny to face Tommy Pham anyway. So, I mean, again, you love guys caring enough to go out there and bust their ass and hustle, but you just can't get thrown out in that situation. And really just not a smart baseball play by a guy that is a really smart baseball player. So it happens. It absolutely happens. I loved the fight, though. I loved the fight. I loved seeing O'Grady come off the bench and get rip a double. I loved Caratini battling his ass off in that at-bat to get that single to drive him in. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And again, there is no quit in the San Diego Padre team. When they lose, for the most part, they're in it, man. They're in it. You feel like you have a chance to win every single day. When have you ever, as a Padre fan, Ben, felt like you had a chance to win every single day? And in fact, when have you expected to win every single game?
On the flip side of the coin, I'm a little worried in that, hey, you, seven innings at Coors Field, you're scraping the barrel to get two runs in seven innings at Coors Field, and you've been the best hitting road team in baseball this season. You have the highest OPS away from Petco Park. Well, guess what? You're now coming back for six games at Petco Park where you have the lowest OPS in baseball. You're last offensively.
Yeah, I was going to correct you on this, but I don't like to correct you on the air.
Please.
The double steal was in the seventh.
Right. Oh, that's right. Oh, you're right. That's right. It wasn't the eighth inning. You didn't need two runs.
You didn't need two runs. But
it's a good point.
But again, yeah, it does. You do want to. Obviously,
you're right. No. It makes it a worse play.
It
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
It's
you know what?
Terrible.
I misremembered that, thinking it was the extra inning.
Yeah.
But it was the seventh, not the eighth.
Now look, there was a lot of innings yesterday. A lot of baseball.
There was. they start to run into each other.
And I think you know you could even hear it in like Mudd's voice. Mudd was like Mudd never going to come right out and you know, but Mudd was like I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't understand that in the slightest. So not a real great play. Now, catcher throws that ball into left field. Man, we are jumping up. Now, Cronenworth probably scores as well. It was the very high risk, very low reward play.
You're right about that.
They're going to walk Manny to get to Tommy. Then who wouldn't, by the way?
All right, we'll have to save our discussion of Blake Snell here for the second half of Ben and Woods. Half the show still to go. We're going to play a little take on Woods, qualify a listener hopefully for a trip to Vegas, $250 food and beverage credit, a round of golf for two. Call now if you want to play, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Don't do this ahead as well. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.